Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Church family coming back together. I see Lois back here and Aline, and it's just fun to see us coming back together. The Bible would say how blessed it is when we worship together in unity. And I just want to pray over our church family that's still participating in worship through online services, but also pray for those that are here and just pray a shield of protection for all of our health. Let's do that. Jesus, we thank you that we're coming back in some normalcy here to worship together, to dwell together in unity. And Lord, we pray for health over our body, the body of Christ, that you'd be like a shield around us, bringing health and life to our bodies. Lord, we pray over our physical and mental health, spiritual and emotional health. Lord, we just pray that this would be a time where the church shines and that we would be healthy in all ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. This is something kind of neat. This week, got a letter from the Gas City Speedway. This is cool, and it's not a speeding ticket either. You all like this. It says, Brock, the Faster Pastor 2020. Congrats on your flag-to-flag victory in the 2020 Faster Pastor School Bus Race. What a dominant performance, both on the track as well as your social media promotion. Enclosed is a $500 donation for your win. I sincerely appreciate your participation and great enthusiasm. Also, thanks to your lovely wife, Alyssa, for the outstanding rendition of the national anthem. God bless. Hope to have you back in 2021. And what's neat is they gave a $500 donation to the church. And so this money is going back directly to us. And as a thank you for how many people came out to the race. And so really neat. And it's cool to be a part of something that's giving back to the community. And also thank you to everybody who came out to participate, because that's a big win for our church as well. Fun stuff. All right. We are going to dive in here, and this morning I want to preach a message to you called Lukewarm Living. Lukewarm Living. Recently, my son Judah, who's 10, Judah is caught up right now with media in the sense of an iPad, video games, cell phones, watching YouTube, playing Fortnite and Minecraft. There's something that is just draws him in to where it is a major focus for him. What he would call an enjoyment, I would call a distraction. But he loves it. He's caught up with this. And as I'm talking to him, I have a responsibility before God to raise a man of God who is strong and rugged, but yet secure, who can be ruthless with his enemies, and yet soft and tender with the women in his life, his mama and his sisters. A guy who knows the Lord and who's desperate for God, and yet he just walks with a joy and a peace with the Lord that passes all understanding. I gotta raise up this boy who some point is going to be leading his own family. And when he's out of my house, he is gone. But while he's in my house, I've got to double down on my responsibility of what it looks like. When you leave underneath my leadership, this is the product of what comes out of it. Unfortunately, it's being hijacked by screens. So we have these conversations often. Judah, we need to get off of the screen, and we need to start putting some things into action. Those things can be super practical on you mow the yard. You weed eat, you take out the trash. You have a dog to take care of. You feed and you water the dog. You need to brush out the dog. You need to start carrying on more and more responsibility. So as I'm sharing these things with him at a 10-year-old level, we're trying to ramp up. There's a goal in sight, right? And as we're ramping up, more and more things get placed upon him. We had one of those fairly hard conversations on this past Sunday night, and I got into him a little bit. Todd, you ever had to get into your boys just a little bit? You got to get into them just a little bit, and we had one of those. And as I'm exiting his bedroom, and I'm going to put the two girls to bed, I tossed Judah a Cabela magazine, and it was a game changer. And he's flipping through it, and he looks through four-wheelers, and he's looking through, like, camo suits, and he's just kind of, like, moving through quick. And he comes to the back of it, and it's gun scopes. And something you almost could tangibly see an awakening happen. And he's like, "Dad, I want a sniper rifle." And I'm kind of like, "Whoa, yes. Easy. Come on, Jesus." And so we're flipping through these scopes. I'm like, "Well, what do you want?" And he's like, "This one you can see like 25 miles. And I'm like, "Dude, you got a BB gun. It's going to go 25 feet. Like, we'll ramp up slowly." And he's so kind of into this, and he's flipping through. And I go and I put the girls to bed, and I come back into his room. And Alyssa looks by, and he's got his light on, and he's just kind of laying on his bed flipping through this. And she goes, "How long is he going to stay up tonight?" And I said, "Long enough. God's doing some fun work inside of his heart." So she kind of moves on, and I dip back into Judah's room, and I just lay down next to him, and we're just dreaming. What about this scope, and what about this one? And Trent, are you just fired up right now? Trent is like, "Amen, brother. I've never heard a preacher so well in my life." Hey, if we go to war, everybody just go to Trent's house. We'll be incredibly safe over there. And so we're dreaming about this thing, and he says this. He says, "Dad, all of the money that I've been saving up to buy an Xbox, I don't want it anymore. I want to now take this money and put towards a gun or a scope because I want to start living outdoors more." And he says, "As I'm looking through these pictures, I see this guy, and he's got war paint on, and he's wearing camos, and he's sitting up in a tree, and there's a deer, and it's like," and he says this, he goes, "and they're out living in the wild." And I'm like, "Brother, speaking my language right now." And he says this. He said, "Dad, tomorrow morning, will you wake me up at 5 a.m.? And I want to go sit on the front porch with you, read our Bible." He's got a little kid Bible that we read through. "I want to talk about Jesus, and I want to watch the sunrise with you. Then we'll go into our workout room, and we'll do a workout." And I'm like, like bathed in this answer to prayer. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, Jesus, like everything I've prayed for is like coming to pass like in a moment. Like what has just happened?" Something started moving in his inner man where he's like, there's got to be more than just pretend battles. There's got to be more than just fake shooting other digital bots. There's got to be something more. That you got to save a fake princess. Like, is there really something more that I could start kind of tracking my heart and my behavior towards? I want my mentality to be different. And at 10, starting to see this thing. So we do. So we wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, he ain't going to roll out of bed. Like, how, you know, you got to wake him up with a 2x4. Like, well, how's this going to work? Wake him up. "Hey, Judah, it's 5. Are you ready? Do you want to get up?" "Yeah." And he's kind of like fighting through it. And there was no like, "No, I don't want to do it." It's like, "Yeah, I want to do it." And boom, and he pops up and we're ready. We got two lawn chairs sitting on the front porch. And we're sitting out here talking, reading the scripture. And he says, "Dad, you know how you have in your calendar?" And I do. I have in my calendar, on Tuesdays, I pray for Ronnie. I just say, "Pray for Ronnie." On Wednesdays, I have a calendar reminder, "Pray for Judah." On Thursdays, I have a calendar reminder, "Pray for Sage." I've got my family every day. It reminds me, pray for somebody in your family. And so he said, "You know how you've got me on your calendar that you pray for me?" He said, "Could you add to it this? Teach Judah how to live life before he leaves the house." I'm like, "Amen, brother, you are preaching right now." Where did all this stuff come from? Rather than escaping responsibility or ducking or like, "No, I want to sleep in as long as I can," he's like, "Let's get after it early." And so we do this. Then we go into the workout room and he's lifting 5-pound weights, and he's putting, you know, he's trying to put his best to it. And he said, and I said, do you want to play some music? He's into music. And he's like, yeah, but I want to play something for you instead. So he Googles Stephen Furtick motivational stuff, and it's like, I can handle it. Come on, like, you know, let's go and get after it. And he plays this stuff, and we're fired up. And then he takes his shirt off. And I mean, he is just muscles dripping off of his body, right? It's just everywhere. And he says, Dad, by the time I get to be 11, I want to be ripped. So he said, I'm going to wear a shirt from now until 11 so nobody can see my body. But whenever I turn 11, I'm going to take my shirt off. And I'm going to be jacked. And I'm going to just like blow everybody away. Like he is this dreamer. It was hilarious. But I'm like, yeah, this is it. It's what we're after. Then we make breakfast for the girls. And as they come down, they're getting ready for school. I said, Judah, not only do we want to be hard and rugged and get after it, but then we're going to come in and serve. We're going to take care of our ladies. You ready to do it? It's like, yeah. So we get in there, and we're making bacon and eggs. We do this whole thing. I was like, Jesus, please don't let this be a one-hit wonder. Like, I want to, like, this will be the way we ramp up through his teenage and adolescent years. The next day, well, that night, actually, we spent some more time together that night. So from 5, and they don't leave till 8 o'clock, we spent 3 hours together before he even started his day at school. So then that night, I said, Judah, do you want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning? Yes. And we did it all week. By the end of the week, Ronnie's hearing about this. She's like, I want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I want to sit on the front porch, and I want to learn about Jesus, and I want to work out. And she's getting it. It's creating like some synergy in the house. The environment is like got a little growl on it now. And I'll tell you, there's a difference. There's a shift and a pivot. Whenever you get hot and fiery for something, when you've only lived very placid and lukewarm. And I want to go to a text this morning where Jesus is calling out the church of Laodicea. And he's saying there's got to be more because what currently is happening right now is not working. You're distracted with screens and it's death by distraction. You're going nowhere fast. You are spinning your tires thinking you're really doing something. Thinking you're winning Battle Royale, and you really did it, and you went nowhere. There's got to be some thrust of a forward movement that takes place, and he starts calling them out here. In Revelation chapter 3, this is, and if you would use our Bibles, it's page 869. If you want to use a pewback Bible here, page 869. It's in the back of your Bible. It's the last couple pages of the entire Bible. If you go to the last 99% of the Bible, there it is. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea, they write. I want to pause right here. Laodicea was this region. Paul wrote multiple letters to churches. Laodicea was one of 7 churches that he wrote to. That John the Revelator wrote to, calling out churches and calling them to the next level. But Paul wrote many letters, and kind of if you could take like Paul's greatest hits album, would be like Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, like some of those big dogs. That was in the Laodicea region, Philippians, some of those places. The name Laodicea comes from the common feminine personal name of Laodice. And Laodice, which we see this, it comes out in the Bible, that's also named after the wife of the Syrian king of Seleucus II. Also the family line tracks, and it's like the great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter of the Greek god, the story of the Greek gods, Zeus. So this was even called the city of Zeus, if you would go back to it. Also, you see it in Homer's Iliad. You see it in his writings. It goes on. It says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds. I want to stop right there. You ever have dad come home and he's like, I know what you did today. Nobody, just me. Okay. Because when my dad came home, oh, shoot. He knows, hey, I just talked to your mom. I get that phone call on the way home. Whatever. Hey, I know what you did. And so here's the, like a prophet peeking in. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. There's those times whenever I know I've been caught, and maybe it's your dad, it's a coach, it's a boss. Hey, I want to meet in your bedroom in 5 minutes. Oh. Shelly, did John ever say that to you all the time? Yeah. Hey, we're about to have a meeting. And I would feel that guilty conviction, like in your spirit, man, like, oh. And he says, I know your deeds. You're not hot and you're not cold. You need to pick one of them, right? Just don't live lukewarm. This word in the Greek of spew out, to spit out of your mouth because it's disgusting. There's something inside. It just doesn't taste well. It's mixing in my stomach weird. Whenever I partake of being with you, I want to vomit. I can't stand to have that flavor in my mouth. I want to get it out of me quickly. Some believe that this passage of Scripture means that God wants you to either be fiery hot for him and have a passion for Jesus, or just be cold-hearted and just turn your heart toward God and have a passion for sin. Pick one of the extremes, just don't live in the middle. That's not what this text is saying, however. What the text is truly saying is that Laodicea is a city in Asia Minor, and as this letter is coming out to them, to one of the seven churches, the town was originally called Diospolis, which means the city of Zeus, because as a god, there was a wealth of colonnades that would line the city as they would go down. This was a very wealthy city. Got a picture here to show you. A very wealthy city that's got these columns. Let's go to the picture here of the columns that would line the city as they're walking down. And so this is beauty as they're maybe taking a stroll down the sidewalk. And it's positioned between two other cities. Colossia was one, and Hierapolis was another one. And it's right in the middle. One is about 6 miles away. The other one's about 11 miles away. And there's rivers and streams that go through. But here's how it would work. Hierapolis was one that would have these hot springs and warm springs. And they had healing properties. So as you would get into the waters and in the minerals, it would bring healing and life to your body as your pores and your skin would absorb these minerals into your body. And that's in one of them. Then on the opposite side, in Colossia, this was coming down from the mountain region where the snow on top of the mountain would melt and little streams would come into their city, and they had fresh spring cold water that was so refreshing and just brought life to your mortal body. Y'all know whenever you're just sweating it out and you get a cup of ice water and you just, oh my gosh, you can actually feel it burn down your chest. You're like, whoa, what in the world is that? I'll tell you, this is kind of cool. If you chew Trident Spearmint gum for a while and just let it, like, you know, bring some fire inside of your mouth, then really cold ice water, it is like it is on fire inside there, burning down your throat. Don't need to do it, but if you want to do it, it's kind of fun. The refreshing side. And so here's what he's saying. I'm writing a letter specifically to you, and you'll know this. You'll know that to one side, there's hot springs that bring life. You'll also know this. To the other side, there's cold, unbelievable spring water that's so refreshing, that's going to bring life to you. And you live somewhere in the middle. And what they would do is they would plumb water down to their city. So here's a picture of the plumb lines. They would have these clay that they would kind of dig underneath 11 miles, bringing these hot spring waters into their city. Then they would go onto this side and they would plumb in cold water and they would gather all the water. So then as it mixes together, it's neither at that point. And that was just lukewarm waters. And what could have been so powerful and healing is now diluted with something else, other ingredients, in the mixture. Because men with mixture just don't bring a whole lot to the table. You have this revelation of God that brings healing and life to people, or you've got this connection with the Father where you are just so refreshing to be around, and it's like liquid life coming together. But yet, the ones that are just in the middle, they just don't have much to offer. The other thing is just the mixture and the lukewarm waters are like a breeding ground for bacteria. It brings sickness and disease. So whenever I drink this, I want to spew it out of my mouth. It's gross. It's yuck. It doesn't bring me refreshing life. It's bringing no healing to my body. It does the reverse. My body wants to vomit it out. So he's making this comparison here specifically to these people. He's like, I know what waters you drink from, and the streams on which you drink are not helpful. The screens on which you look are not helpful. And I've got this thing against you here. This just yesterday, I was down in Indy with my friend Aaron Vogel from New Orleans. Was up for a weekend, and we got to hang out for a few days. And he is a coffee master. This guy loves a good coffee, and I don't mean that lightly. Like, he has his own roaster company. He has a company called Cool Kids Coffee, and we're down in Indy, and we go to this place called Quills, and Quills just does it right. They do a lot of things right. I see a little head bob there. As we go there, we order, I have no idea what we ordered, but he ordered it, and he got some sort of a coffee. I got like Majucha or something, green tea. It smells like you just mowed the lawn is what it smells like. Mix a little oat milk and a splash of vanilla. And it comes served just like this in two cups. In the first cup, they rinse it out. I had no idea what they were doing. I was like, oh, he messed it up. When we get to the table, Aaron's like, let me tell you what they just did and why I appreciate it so much. They fill it with warm water all the way, and they just do it like a quick wipe out. And then dump it. Then they fill up this cup and this cup here. This cup is the one that they cleaned out. This one is just to kind of help keep a little bit of the heat off of it. And he says they did it for one of two reasons, or two of two reasons. There's, as a fresh cup that's just made and produced, there's little particles of paper that just kind of hang onto it. And he says, so they just wash it out, dump it out. Nobody's ever really going to know it or taste it or see a difference, but they know. And it's just little pieces of paper that will just get into what you drink or into the bloodstream. It's like, it's just not good. It's just not perfect. And he said, here, it's about perfection. It's about excellence. So they wash it out. They pour it. And he says, the second reason is because it just warms the cup just a little bit. And so then you get it. No paper remnants in there. The cup is warm. And then you take a drink. Interesting, the fact that they would do a step like that, saying, we want to make sure that the temperature on which we're living this thing is accurate. This last weekend, I was warming up some queso. Queso, this queso dip, properly served, should be at 165 degrees. When it's not, and it's just room temperature, it tastes very different. It's not as enjoyable. And so actually, believe it or not, put a meat temperature thermometer in there and warmed it up, not to 165, to 173 degrees, because I knew as I would move to where I was about just to chill and relax, a couple degrees are going to drop, and it's going to be perfectly 165 degrees. When that chip goes into my mouth, it's going to be perfect. Temperature matters. And so he likens our lives into two extreme temperatures. He's calling us out that you have this water sort of a relationship, and as he sees it, it needs to be on point. This thing should be accurate in how we're living this life. Otherwise, it's disgusting. I don't want to drink that. That cup of coffee that just sits there, the whole experience is much different, is it not? After it gets to be room temperature. You know what I find fascinating is somebody can go through a church experience for many, 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 many years, but never really catch a hold of the healing hotness that Jesus wants to bring, to where it so changes the inner man, to where you are impactful for those that come in and sit in your streams. There's also people that could come and sit in church for 80 years and never get soaked in the cool, refreshing, liquid life of who Jesus is, so that when people come in contact with you, it is so refreshing to be around that person. Man, they've got the life of Christ emitting off of them, and it is just fun and enjoyable. And it's not heavy, it's free, and it's light. It is a refreshment to be with them. Instead, what we do is we can attend church, congratulate ourselves for being a good person, and just live very average and lukewarm. I got educated, I learned about Jesus, I asked him to forgive me my sins, and I just kind of lived my life. I was just a good person. But I wasn't hot and fiery. I didn't have that edge on my spirit. Or I didn't really bring so much just life and refreshment. And he says, you live lukewarm and it's gross. It just is. It's just gross. And I don't want to participate with that. Something else I find is how somebody can be in a faith setting for 80 years and could get blown by 100 miles an hour by somebody that knows God for one day. I mean, has an encounter with Jesus and one day can fast track the thing. Whenever I'm around Carl Stanball and I try to talk to him, where are you at, Carl? Where are you going? And I'm trying to talk to this guy. He is on a trajectory that can blow by people so much faster, and he can be high for 47 years and still get further faster with that slow of a start. Because of a revelation, because God can grip a hold of somebody and blow by, and all of a sudden he's going to use them to bring refreshment and to bring life and to bring healing. He can do something exponentially with speed like that. This last week, I was watching the Weather Channel, and they're talking about the hurricanes that are going on around in the Gulf and places like that. And they said one town of a person that they interviewed, they said it wasn't a hurricane, but it sure felt like one. I was talking to Aaron, and he said the first hurricane that came through, we didn't even get rain out of it. The second one, it just rained a lot. And his son walked outside, and the humidity was so hot. He goes, I thought we were supposed to have a hurricane. Why is it so hot? And the feeling is, how many of y'all know, feeling is different than reality. It feels like we're having a hurricane, but you're not. Just because you feel that way doesn't mean that it's reality. I want to make sure that our feelings match the reality of God. And you might feel like you're in it. You might feel like you've really done something. You might feel like you're super connected. But the reality is that you're just lukewarm. There's just mixture. And God is saying it's not based upon how you feel. It's just not. And many times we listen to our own feelings, and we need to start speaking what is reality, not just listening to ourselves, but speaking to ourselves. Here is the reality of where I am. Do I burn with passion for Jesus? Am I burning? Am I waking up early, salivating for his presence? And I must know you, and I want you to walk along my day with me, and I want to engage, and I want to ask you this question. Man, because I got this pressure coming on me, and this situation's coming. I just want to know. I want to have the mind of God. I'm hungry, right? I'm hungry for it. And Jesus, I need you in my marriage. I need you as you're leading my kids. I need you. There's a hunger. There's a hotness. There's a burning white fire affection on the altar of my heart. There's a craving for that, and to be aware enough to see that that's the breakthrough that we've got to have. There's a few things that I believe that would keep us from living that hot or that cold lifestyle. The first one is just busyness. It's just busyness. It's death by distraction. And I just got caught up here, and I was doing this thing and that thing and just never really went to another level. Perhaps how much God's saying, I want you to be a leader in your home here, in your family here, with your grandkids, with your neighbor, in your community. I'm just busy, God. And I don't really care about it that much because there's just a lukewarmness. There's such an indifference. And God says, that's just gross. I don't want to drink in how you're living your life. It's not a good story. The way that you're living the story just isn't a good story. It's not a story worth retelling. Don Miller, in his book, A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, he says this. The opening line is this. Nobody watches a movie about a guy who buys a Volvo. I'm nothing against you if you've got a Volvo. Anything, a Honda, whatever. He goes, so you like showed up to the car dealership and you bought a car and then you got like economic gas mileage. Not tuning in for that one. Like, where's the adventure? Where's the extreme? Where is you lost a limb and you still came out on the other side? Like, that's what we're tuning in. Is it a story worth telling? Is it refreshing? Is it healing? Are you transforming the town, your family? Like, what is it that you're bringing? I want it hot and I want it cold and I want it awesome, but this mixture of whatever, it just isn't. I gotta vomit that out. I can't handle that sort of a life here. Laodicea, this is what's awesome about this word. Laos means people. I'll show you this in the original language here. Jack, go ahead. Laos means people. And then this other word is deke, which means justice. Laodicea means justice for the people. Isn't that fascinating? Justice for the people is what this city means. And he says, I want you to bring healing for the people. And I want you to bring life, a refreshment to the people. I want to tell you, Grant County, Madison County, Fairmount, Somerville, Fowlerton, Marion, now is a great time for us to bring healing and refreshment to the people around us every day. Justice for the people, life to the people, a lift to the people, to encourage hearts and lift heads, to bust people free of their old mindsets of the church, their old mindsets of God, to give them life like they've never experienced before. And apart from that, it just isn't going to work. And I'll tell you this, people can probably smell it 10 miles away and they're like, bleh. That's the church. That's what it's like to know Jesus. Mahatma Gandhi said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. They are so unlike your Christ. And I want to know this healing Jesus that is like liquid life. He says, drink from me and you'll never thirst again, and from within you will explode rivers of living water. We got to know him. We got to know him. And everywhere we go, we're just splashing on people. Here's some healing. Come on, baby, get healed up, get loved up. Come into a place where you can be freed, full, whole, and healed. Be refreshed when you come into this presence. Our desires, I believe, have to shift to become more like Jesus. So where is the lukewarm living in you? Just say, where's the lukewarmness in my own heart? Am I having enough awareness of myself? Aaron and I, we spoke about this. We're these triune beings, mind, body, and soul. In the same way that God is triune, we're mind, body, and soul. And we said, we want to go into these next several years. We're exiting our 30s here, and we're going to be going into our 40s, and we're saying, man, during this time, what can I do as I exit one season heading into another? And we talked about no laziness with our bodies, no lukewarmness in the approach of taking care of our health, no laziness in discipling and stewarding my mind to be sharp. No lukewarmness when it comes to taking care of my soul, that inner soul man of who I am, to have hot, fiery affection. And also just the coolness that's so encouraging that brings life. Where's the areas for you? I'm just lukewarm. I'm just average. I'm not even average. I'm just like not even interested. To where God's saying, hey, I want you to get on this area better. Maybe it's bringing some life and some encouragement to kids or grandkids. It's a phone call. It's a text message. It's an email. It's a letter. It's intentional with the finances that you have to do some fun stories with your kids, grandkids. He's saying, come on, let's not lay up. Let's not just coast. Let's not just back into heaven on this one. Let's run fiery through the finish line. It's good to audit. Let's do a quick audit. Where am I just lukewarm right now? Do I wake up hungry at 5 in the morning to be with my Father? I want to be with my Father at 5 a.m. and watch the sunrise. God, give me more. Give me another dose. Draw me in. Make it so enticing. And he ends this letter not just calling them out, but giving them a way up. So check out verse 17. He said, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Let me tell you something. Don't build your wealth without him. Don't do it. Don't build your life without him. I'm wealthy. I don't need anything. And so I'm so far above this. You might think so on this earthly realm, and you have gained the whole world and lost your soul. And God's saying, don't do it that way. I want to caution you because that's wretched. That's pitiful. I spit that out of my mouth. He goes on, verse 18, I counsel you, buy gold from me that's been refined in the fire so that you truly will be rich. White clothes to wear, that you'll never have to cover shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you truly can see. He's saying, come to me for this great exchange. I've got stuff for you. I'll give you a great exchange. You give me your life, I'll give you mine. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and turn in your life, or repent and make a change. Here I am. I stand at your door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and he opens that door, I will come in. I will eat with that person and they with me. Check this out. He just said the way you're currently living, I'm going to spew it out. He goes, but if you want to do it my way, I'm going to eat. I'll eat with you. I'll sit at that table all day. And we're going to dine until your destiny comes about. Here he's at the door. To the one who is victorious, I will give you the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious, I sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Church, you might feel like, man, I'm doing it. I'm bringing healing and I'm bringing encouragement and life everywhere I go. If that is you, awesome, and just soak in the goodness of God that he's given you that revelation. If there's any conviction in your heart where you're like, ooh, okay, I'm feeling that, Dad. Thanks for that talk in the bedroom. Oh, shoot. I want to have my desires and my affections provoked. I want to turn off the screen. I want to get in the Word. I want to turn off the distractions, and I want to hit my knees, and I want to just have these callous knees before the Lord. God, I'm on my knees again crying out. Or how about the other reflection? We're knocking on the doors of heaven instead of him always seeking us out. God, we're knocking. We're seeking. We've got callous knuckles. We're constantly pursuing you, knocking on the door. No more lukewarmness. No more just living in the vomit, saying, God, we're going for it. We're bringing healing. And life, justice for the people, life to your people, encouragement for your people. Church families, we wrap. I just want to pray that over us. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close? Jesus, I pray that we would be a church family that we do not have this lukewarm living. God, that we are intentional physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, relationally. Lord, we ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit of God to put the healing hot heat inside of our mortal bodies. God, we pray that we would be rivers that would be flowing with healing into our neighborhoods. We'd bring healing to marriages. We'd bring healing to mindsets. God, that we would be healed from those broken places. Lord, I also ask you that we would be like those cool springs where the snow melts and just travels into our town. And God, we would just drink the liquid life of heaven from you, Lord. We pray that we would come and encounter with people. We'd bring encouragement. We would pop open the soul. We would bring life to them. God, we just pray we would be a refreshment everywhere we go. People would be like, oh, I want to be a part of that. I want to be around that person. They bring a lift and life. Jesus, we thank you that you have properly demonstrated both as the great healer and life giver. And we honor you for that, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.